It's been a privilege for us to be in Argentina. I don't know why God let us go, but I'm glad He did. We have three children. Some of them show up in that, but most of them don't. My daughter does in April. But when we first got married, my wife and I talked about our kids and what we would do. And she told me, she said, I want to raise my kids. She said, I don't want to work. She said, I want to be able to be there to be the mother to my kids. And she said, I don't care how poor we are, as long as I can raise my kids. So we stuck by that. And there were times earlier in our marriage when things were tight. But I thank God that she wanted to do that, and that she was such a great mother. She loves the Lord, loves me, loves our children, and she can be funny at times. She called our daughters-in-laws about less than a year before we came home on furlough, when we knew we were coming. She said, okay, we're coming home on furlough next year. I expect a grandbaby from each of you. And believe it or not, they came through. One was born the end of January. One was born the beginning of February. So we now have five. And so my wife, I know she looks nice and sweet and all that, and she is, but she can be tough when she needs to be. And I was asking James, the oldest boy, I said, James, when you were a kid and when you got in trouble, and when you were going to get a spanking, I said, who are you more afraid of? And he really surprised me when he answered me. He said, well, Dad, I was actually more afraid of Mom than I was you. And I thought, what? He said, well, you spanked harder, but Mom, she had a bad aim. So I think God used that bad aim to keep them boys in line. They realized when Daddy's gone, Mama will take care of them. And so... Anyway, it's great to live for God, serve the Lord, and all three of my kids are living for God. My youngest one, David, you'll get to meet him in your mission conference. God called him to Argentina. He married a girl from Argentina. And my next child is James, and he's pastor of a Spanish church in Oklahoma City. And it's completely self-supporting and self-sustaining, and he's doing a good job. God's blessed there. They're running about 200, 225. And our oldest child is April, and she's not married yet. She's living for the Lord, real faithful in the Spanish church, teaching the children in Sunday school and in junior church. And so to me, that's more important than my ministry, that the kids live for God. And I thank God for that. And I give God the credit, but I also know my wife had a lot to do with that, more than I did, because she took her role as a mother very seriously. I'll tell you some more things about the video probably in my message, but let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 15. Acts chapter 15. Go to verse number 36. Acts chapter 15, verse number 36. The Bible says, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here tonight, being in church on this Lord's Day. Thank you for the privilege we had of singing to you and singing praises to you during the beginning of the service and throughout the service. And now, Lord, as we have this time set apart for the preaching of your word, I pray that you bless this time, that you'd help me to preach clearly, and that your Holy Spirit would take your word and speak to our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that even though you're sinners, you love us and you can use us. Help us to glorify you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we see basically, we see three people. We see Paul, who I think almost everybody here knows about Paul, the great missionary, the great man of God, the great apostle. We also see in here a man called Barnabas, who is a good friend of Paul's, a man that was known for encouraging people, a man that was selfless and loved the Lord. And then we see someone else here named John Mark. John Mark was a young man here, a young, I guess you could say, a young preacher boy. And I believe he was called into the ministry at this time. And John Mark was the son of Mary. Mary was the sister of Barnabas. So therefore, Barnabas was John Mark's uncle. If you're not familiar with who Mary was in the Bible, if you remember the story when Herod took James and killed him with the sword, and when he saw how it pleased the Jews, he then took Peter and put him in prison and was planning to kill him. And the night before he was to be killed, Peter was sleeping. The angel smote him on the side and led him out through the gates of the prison and set him free in the middle of the city. And Peter came to himself and realized that it wasn't just a good dream, but it was real. And there was a bunch of Christians together praying. Praying for Peter. Praying to the Lord. They were all meeting at Mary's house. And Peter went to Mary's house. That's Mary, the mother of John Mark. Well, John Mark goes with Paul and Barnabas on a missionary journey. This missionary journey is known to us as Paul's first missionary journey. And John Mark's job is to be a minister to Paul and Barnabas. So this young preacher boy, excited, I'm sure, about going on his first missionary trip, has the honor of going with Paul and Barnabas to minister unto them, to serve them, to be a blessing to them. So they go on their journey, and that takes us to Acts chapter 13. And let's see what happens here on this journey in Acts chapter 13. They begin their journey going to Cyprus, the island of Cyprus. And there they're preaching the gospel. The Bible says a deputy was saved. There may have been others saved, but God blessed on the island of Cyprus. They leave Cyprus and they go over to what we know as Turkey. And in verse 13, we see what happens here. Now, when Paul and his company loose from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So what happens here? They start out the missionary journey, go through Cyprus. They leave Cyprus, the island, and they go into the Asia Minor, into Turkey. And they came to Perga. And John Mark, for some reason, decides to go back home. He leaves them. Goes back home to Mama. He abandons Paul and Barnabas here in the middle of a missionary trip. I don't know why he did it. The Bible doesn't say, as far as I've been able to find. But he doesn't follow through with his promise, with his commitment to minister to Paul and Barnabas. Why did he leave? I don't know, but he could have left them because of his love for the world. He could have decided, well, this is tough. I think the world has something better to offer me. He could have decided just to go back into the world. Many Christians fall into that trap. The devil tempts them with the pleasures of the world, and they say, no, I'm not going to live for God because I want to enjoy these pleasures. And the devil ruins them. He may have abandoned them to fulfill his own selfish desires. He may have said, look, this isn't for me. I got plans for my life and I could do something better. I don't want to do this. I want to do what I want to do. And how many of God's people come to that point where they say, God, I'm going to do what I want. I'm not going to give my heart to you. I'm not going to give my life to you. I'm not going to dedicate myself to the ministry here in the church. I'm not going to go out and pass out those flyers because I don't want to. Or he may have abandoned them because he was afraid and lacked faith. Maybe he was overcome. Maybe he was homesick. Maybe he just got scared when he saw what was out there. We don't know for sure what happened. But one thing I know. He missed out on many blessings when he went back home. Because after he left, many people were saved. And many churches were started. Look in chapter 13 and verse number 42. Let's just see one of these here. In verse 42, the Bible says this, Acts 13:42. Now when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Now here's what's happening. Paul and Barnabas, they leave the Perga where they landed, and they go to Antioch of Pisidia and begin preaching the word of God. To give you an idea of what's happening, John Mark left them when they got to Perga. The very next city was Antioch of Pisidia, and Paul and Barnabas preach. And word gets out. And the next Sabbath day, the Bible says that almost the entire city came out to hear the preaching of the Word of God. What a blessing. How great it would be for it to happen today. The entire city. Now, we're talking about pagans. We're talking about godless people. We're talking about people that know nothing about Jesus Christ. People that have lived in sin all their lives. And they all come together. And Paul and Barnabas have the privilege and the opportunity of presenting Christ to a people who have never heard. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. What a miracle that they all came. What a blessing. However, John Mark wasn't there. He quit just a little bit too early. One city early, he left and went home. Missed it. He missed it. How many times do we miss out? Because we give up just before God's about to bless. Oh, that happens so many times. Just before God blesses, we throw in the towel and we miss it. John Mark missed it. Look at chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So now we see Paul and Barnabas. Now keep in mind they're shorthanded. They lost John Mark, who's supposed to minister to them. But they continue on anyway. Because that's what God had called them to do. So many times, it just doesn't turn out the way we planned it. That doesn't mean to quit. And say, okay, that wasn't what I had in mind. No. They went on. And it says here, they were confirming the souls, that they're ordaining elders in every church, commending them unto the Lord. What we see here is now Paul and Barnabas are able to leave that area with churches that are functioning, with leaders in the church or churches, so that when Paul and Barnabas leave, these people have a place to go to church. And there's leaders there, elders there, and people that are running the churches. What a blessing. Paul's first missionary journey Barnabas' first missionary journey, and we see churches now being established. What a blessing. God was in that. But John Mark, he wasn't there to see that either. He missed it. He missed it. What do we learn from that? You always miss out on the blessings of the Lord when you leave His will and quit serving Him. When you get away from God, you always miss out on God's blessings. And how sad it is how John Mark just barely missed out. I mean, he left just a little too early. I can imagine John Mark when Paul and Barnabas came home on their furlough, went to the church at Jerusalem and shared all these things, all of these blessings, how God had done these things. And as the people are all excited, I can just picture John Mark sitting in the church with his head bowed. See, I should be up there with him. I should be praising God with them. I should have stayed. Why did I come home? Why didn't I stick it out? And he's ashamed because of what he did and leaving them. I wonder how many people miss out on knowing the Lord because we sometimes quit serving Him. We turn away from God. And those people we work with, those people we go to school with, those people we see, because we're away from God, we're no longer that light to them. We're no longer presenting the gospel to them. We're no longer that example that they need. And we're no longer witnessing to them. And they suffer because of what we did when we get away from God. But he missed out on something else too. Look in verse number 19 of chapter 14. He missed out on the severe persecution that Paul and Barnabas experienced. In verse number 19 of chapter 14, we see here, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." So, now we see Paul and Barnabas being faithful like they have been, preaching the Word of God, loving the people, trying to get them to hear what Jesus had done for them so they could be saved, so churches could be established. Some Jews stirred up some people. They get a hold of Paul. And they stone him. They tried to stone him to death. That was what they did. That's what they do when they stone someone. They stoned him till they thought he was dead. And as he lay there, they grabbed a hold of him and drug him out of town. Left him on the outskirts of town like they drug a dead dog. Left him there. And as Paul lay there, the other disciples that had been on the mission trip, all standing around looking at Paul, their leader, as he lay there, they think dead. And Paul gets up, gets on his feet, and goes back into the city and continues preaching the Word of God. He couldn't be stopped. He couldn't be stopped. He probably said, "Well, they tried to kill me, but I didn't die. I guess God's not done with me yet. Because if God would have been done with me, I'd be with Him right now." So he got back up and went back and preached the Word of God and continued. And I don't know if you noticed or not, this happened before what I just read in verse 21. God continued to bless Paul on that same missionary trip after he'd been stoned nearly to death. John Mark wasn't there. He missed that too. What an impression that would have left upon his mind had he been there. Had he seen Paul nearly killed. His service for God was not appreciated. But when he got up, he didn't gripe and complain. He just got back to preaching the Word of God. Had John Mark been there and seen that, That would have been in his mind till his dying day. That would have been an encouragement to him. And would any time he had a trial or something, he would have remembered, they didn't stone me. Praise God. But he missed it. He wasn't there. You know, I think Paul could have enjoyed being ministered to at that time. That was John Mark's job. John Mark wasn't there to minister to him. Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 15 in the text, verse number 37, 36. What happens? I think after what I told you, I think these verses will make a little more sense to you now. And after, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. What's happening here? Paul and Barnabas now, they finished their first missionary trip. They're home on what we would call furlough. They've gone to the church at Jerusalem. I know they've gone to the church at Antioch. They shared with the churches how God had blessed. The Bible says they were there for some time. Paul gets itchy feet. Looks over to Barnabas and says, Barnabas, aren't you tired of this furlough? What do you think about going back to these churches that we established? Going back to these people and see how they're doing. Notice how he words it, though. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city. Who is our brethren? Do you realize our brethren here are those that were pagans and godless people before Paul went to their city and preached? These were godless people who no doubt many of us would be uncomfortable to be around. But because they heard the gospel, God changed them. He saved them. He put a new song in their heart. And they became children of God. Paul says, let's go visit our brethren. One thing I've noticed in my years as a Christian, as a missionary, it doesn't matter what someone's color is, their race, their nationality, their customs. When Jesus saves them, He changes them. And they become our brothers. And there's a special bond that can't be described, a special closeness between God's people, our brethren. That bond is because of Jesus Christ. But that bond is impossible if those people don't hear about Jesus Christ. So Paul's happy to say, we got brethren to go see. New brethren. So he says, let's go see him, Barnabas. Verse number 37. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Barnabas says, Paul, that's a good idea. Remember John Mark? He wants to go with us. I want to take him with us. Paul's saying, yeah, I remember John Mark. Yeah, he was going to minister unto us, wasn't he? Didn't he come with us for a little while and left us? Yeah. Well, what does he think about it? Look at verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Paul says, Barnabas, that's not a good idea. I don't think that would work. I don't want him to go. We needed him. When we really needed him, he let us down. He left us hanging. Now, I think God can use him again. But I'm planning a bigger mission trip right now. We're going to go a lot farther. Probably going to be gone a lot longer. I don't think John Mark's ready for this. Barnabas, he doesn't agree. Look at verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Barnabas says to Paul, he's my nephew. Paul, I have a burden in my heart for John Mark. Paul, I just don't think I can leave him right now. I think he ought to go with us. Paul said, no. There was some contention between them. Who was right? Well, Paul definitely was right in some areas. That John Mark, that was an awful big mission for someone that's trying to recover from a failure. But Barnabas said, I love him. I don't think God's through with him yet. I think we ought to give him another chance. So they're both right. So they can't come to an agreement. So what happens? They go separate ways. See, this is what happened. Paul had lost his confidence in John Mark. He didn't trust him anymore because he left him. How many people have lost faith in us because of some of the things we've done? That's a scary thought. Think of some of the things I did, especially as a young Christian. People I witnessed to might have seen me do things that I shouldn't have done. Suddenly I got a witness to them and they're stone cold. They don't trust me anymore because of what I did. How many people have rejected the Lord because of things we've done? Well, Barnabas, I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to Barnabas and gripping his heart. And he's so burdened for his nephew. He gives him another chance. See, John Mark made a big mistake. I think we can all agree with that. It was wrong. He shouldn't have done it. He abandoned his partners. And what he did, this blunder that he did, made things very difficult for Paul and Barnabas. Two good friends. Paul won't trust them. But on the other hand, we see a good thing here. John Mark recognized his mistake. He recognized where he failed. He repented and tried to make things right. You know, that's what we're supposed to do when we do something wrong. We're supposed to recognize our mistake, get right with God, and then get right with the people who were affected by our mistake. John Mark repented, tried to get right, and God had Barnabas prepared to reach out to him and help get him reestablished in the ministry. God used Barnabas in John Mark's life to restore him spiritually, help him get back on track. You know, there's Christians all around us that need encouragement. And God could use you to be a blessing to somebody that's hurting. God could use you to be an encouragement to someone that's going through a rough time. Could be physically, could be financially, could be spiritually. God can use you to be a blessing. Barnabas reached out to John Mark, and he takes him on a missionary journey. Where does he go? Goes to Cyprus. What's at Cyprus? That's where John Mark quit serving God. John Mark only got as far as Cyprus and went home. Barnabas took him back to Cyprus on a missionary trip, the two of them. That was an act of faith on Barnabas' part. And I want us to understand that. That was an act of faith. It was obedience, but it was an act of faith for him to do that. Barnabas trusted in the Lord to restore John Mark. You realize, just the two of them, what would have happened to Barnabas had John Mark turned on him again and left him hanging all by himself? Would have ended that missionary trip. But he felt God tugging at his heart, and he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit and took him there. If you don't think it took faith, you need to realize also that for Barnabas to obey God and to reach out to John Mark, he had to go against Paul, the great apostle. He had to look Paul in the face and say, Paul, I'd love to go, but I can't. Because I've got another job to do right now. My job is my nephew. If he can't come with me, I understand. Then I'll take him and I'll spend some time with him. He had to stand up to Paul and do that. Now, Paul and Barnabas, they go back a long ways. You see, when Paul, when he was called Saul, was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians, drag them off to jail, maybe have some of them killed, split up families, he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He got saved, went into Damascus, got baptized, and then he began to preach the Word of God. He began to preach Christ. And those Jews that had been anxiously waiting for Paul to come lead them to, or Saul at that time, to persecute the Christians, are now frustrated, saying, what happened to Saul? And they said, we're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. They locked the gate to the city, looking for Saul. And some disciples, at night, take Saul, put him in a basket, let him out the wall. He escapes. He ends up going back to Jerusalem. There he looks for some Christians. He goes to the disciples, trying to join himself with the disciples. You know, Christians want to be with Christians. He tries to join himself to the disciples, and the disciples rejected him. They didn't trust him. They were afraid of him, the Bible says. So as Paul goes to them, they turn their backs on him because they think it's a trap. But the Bible says Barnabas took Saul and brought him to the apostles and shared with the apostles what Paul had been doing. That it was a genuine conversion and that he really was preaching the gospel. And the apostles received him. Then later on, because of the persecution that had happened at Jerusalem, Christians are scattered throughout the area. And some Christians are preaching in Antioch. Jews are getting saved. Greeks are getting saved. Word gets out to the church at Jerusalem. Something's going on in Antioch. It's like there's a big revival going on. Barnabas, you go there and see what's happening. Barnabas goes to Antioch. He sees the Jews, the Gentiles being saved. He sees God blessing. He sends word back. It is true. God's blessing here. The Bible says then, he went to Tarsus. He found Paul and brought him to Antioch. And the two of them began a ministry together for the Lord. They went back a long ways. Close. But now, they're going to go two different directions. That took faith on Barnabas' part. It took character. And so, Barnabas takes John Mark, goes to Cyprus, spends some time with him, loves him, encourages him. So what happens to John Mark as time goes on? Well, we find later on that John Mark was received by Paul again and became a part of his team. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul says this, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister, son of Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. We can also see in Philemon, verse number 22, Paul says this, Philemon verse 22, Paul says, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Then salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Marcus, John Mark, is now a fellow laborer with Paul. Wow. Peter, in 1 Peter 5:13, Peter says this, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. John Mark had the opportunity of traveling with Peter to Babylon. And he was such a blessing to Peter that Peter refers to him as my son. I believe he'd been changed. I believe he's back on track, living for God. And Paul, at the end of his ministry, he calls John Mark one of the few who were faithful in the ministry to the end. In 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." John Mark, profitable Paul. What happened? You know what happened. Somebody straightened him out. Helped him out. I notice we don't see any bitterness in Paul's attitude towards John Mark. Any grudges. No, he got past that. When John Mark was sincere, he received him fine. Well, there's one more thing where we see John Mark after this. We have the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God used John Mark to be the human author of the Gospel of Mark. That's John Mark. Wow. He started off falling flat on his face. He started out so bad. But God says, "John Mark, you're going to write the Gospel of Mark." What a blessing. Now I have a question. What would have happened to John Mark had it not been for the love and faith of Barnabas? He'd have washed out early. He was done for, so it appeared. But Barnabas, burdened for him, loved him, spent some time with him, encouraged him, even put his name on the line for him. And God used him in such a mighty way. You know, we've all made mistakes and bad decisions in our life. I think we've all probably been a John Mark at one time or another in our life. But we see here from this story that we can confess our errors and sins to the Lord and be forgiven. And then get back on track, living for God. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you're still breathing, God can use you. You just have to make the decision to live for God and make it today. You need to let God lead your life. John Mark messed up, but he got another chance. Got another chance. Thanks to Barnabas, someone that loved him. We all have another chance to live for God. We all have the chance to put the Lord first in our lives and accomplish important things for Him. We all have the chance to try to encourage others to live for God and look for people to be a blessing to. We live at a time, many times, when somebody falls, everybody wants to point their finger at them and say, "Look, he didn't make it. Look, he fell. Can you believe that?" We're the people that say, "Oh, what can I do to help? Brother, I know that was wrong, but let me help you. God will forgive you. Let's get things straightened out. What can I do for you?" Is that wrong? Is it wrong to reach out to somebody that's struggling? Barnabas didn't think so. In fact, his whole life was characterized by reaching out to others to help them. God bless. Barnabas did that because he was a man of faith. He trusted that if the Holy Spirit led him to do it, that God would bless. And God blessed. In our Christian life, you know, it's all about obedience and faith. God deals with us, speaks to our heart. And so many times we're afraid to do it. We don't trust Him. We lack the faith. And we don't obey. Barnabas, when God spoke to him, obeyed. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him, to please God. I want to share a story with you and I'll finish. When we worked in Samoff El Mendoza with Don Espinosa, we were there for 5 years. It's a great time. It was good for us. New missionaries. We'd gone to a year of language school, but that didn't mean we had it mastered. We all made our share of mistakes, and I had a hard time understanding. So to be working with a missionary for 5 years was such a blessing. It was good for my family. My wife had another missionary wife to take her to the grocery store to show her the things you can't get. And then to show her the things you could get to maybe make the things that you're used to making. How to, use other things to make what you want to. My kids got to the foreign country. But there's a missionary there that has a church established, that has young people in the church that love the Lord. So they had Christian friends as soon as they got to the mission field that loved the Lord. Good friends to hang out with. Good friends to serve the Lord with. It was a blessing. But the time came when God began to stir my heart to move. He wanted us to move down south. I knew it would happen. I mean, it couldn't be that fun forever. And so, in January of 1997, we loaded up our Chevrolet Silverado pickup truck with our kids in the back, our dog in the back, and some tents. And we went on a survey trip down south. And as we got to a city, we had about 5 or 6 cities we wanted to look at. And as we got to a city, we would find the city camping outside the city and camp there, go into town and just kind of scout around and just look at it and just get a feel for it. As we got to Comodoro Rivadavia, that was the second to the last city we were going to go to. There was one more city 500 miles further south called Rio Gallegos. We got to Comodoro Rivadavia. By then we'd gone 1,100 miles. The wind was blowing terribly. Sand was blowing. I pulled up to the camp area and went to back up, and the gear shift wouldn't go into reverse. I lost my reverse. Something was wrong with the transmission. I thought, oh boy. Well, we set up our tent. Went into town. Wasn't too fun trying to parallel park without a reverse. Everything's parallel parking down there. But I learned how to do it. We have lots of hills. And I could use that hill for my reverse and hope no one came in behind me or in front of me while I was doing it. So we checked out that city, and while we were there, the wind never stopped. The wind blew so hard, and we were sandblasted. I thought the tent was going to blow away. We had to eat inside the truck. I decided we're not going to go to the next city with my transmission broken. And so we went back home, and my wife and I were talking a month or so later about what God would have us to do about our survey trip. You know, God blessed in several cities. We had some contacts, good contacts, in 2 cities. And then my wife looked at me. She said, "We're going to Comodoro Rivadavia, aren't we?" I said, "Yeah, that's what God's laid on my heart." She said, "I knew it. I knew it." So, in May of 1997, my wife and I took a bus down to Comodoro Rivadavia. I wasn't going to take my truck. It wasn't fixed yet. So we got on a bus and took the 27-hour bus ride down to Comodoro Rivadavia. The purpose of it was to find a house to rent, find a place maybe we could meet to have church, to kind of prepare us for the move. So we're on that bus, and it's in the month of May, which is heading into winter there. And the weather got nasty on the way down there, and it was raining terribly, and The wind was blowing it on the windows of the bus, just nasty looking, couldn't hardly see out. Rivers beside it, beside the road. And I can remember sitting there thinking, what am I doing? Why am I coming down here? I don't know anybody. There weren't any missionaries in that area. The closest missionary was going to be 700 miles from there. And I thought, I can't believe I'm doing this. I looked at my wife without saying anything. And I thought, she's going to follow me wherever God leads me. Am I making a mistake? Bringing my family here? Is that the right thing to do? And I got really nervous. And as we were getting closer to town, we got into the edge of town and we're heading towards the bus station. I looked forward and I saw a guy on the bus sitting there with a Bible on his lap, reading his Bible. And I thought, wow. So we pulled into the bus station. I went up to that man and began to talk to him. Told him who I was and told him I was a Baptist missionary coming to this city to start a church. And his eyes got really big. He said, you're a Baptist missionary? And you're going to start a church here? I said, yeah. He said, I'm a Baptist and I don't go to church. He said, where are you staying? I said, well, we're going to stay in a hotel somewhere for a few days. We're looking for a house to rent and a place to start our church. He said, well, how are you going to get there? I said, well, I guess we'll take a taxi. He said, it's nasty outside. It's raining. He said, my wife picked me up. He says, here, we'll take you. So we got in this Ford Falcon station wagon. Keith Harrison had one of those. And if it wasn't an automatic. And he began taking us by hotels, looking for one in our price range that was decent to stay in. And we found one. It was probably about 5 o'clock in the evening by then. He said, okay. He said, I'm going to come by at 9 o'clock in the morning and pick you up. And I'm going to take you looking for a house and a place to have church. This is somebody I don't even know. And he did it. At 9 in the morning, he pulls up in his Ford Falcon station wagon, and we get in, and he takes us by people he knows, realtors, all kinds of places. We go looking everywhere, looking for signs. At noon, he takes us back to the hotel. He says, okay, it's lunchtime. He says, I'm going to leave you here, and I'll come back at 3 and pick you up. They like long lunch breaks in Argentina. So at 3, he comes back, and he did it again. For 3 days, he did that. I offered to pay his gas, to take him, give him food. He said, no. You're not giving me anything. The third day, we found a place that on the first floor had a big empty room, big enough to have a church in. And on the second floor was an apartment that had 3 bedrooms. And the owner was the same for both of them. And he let us rent the apartment and the church building for $1,200 a month. Well, I signed that contract right away, gave him the money. We went back home. Began packing our stuff. Within 3 or 4 weeks, we moved down there. We get into town. He's there, waiting for us to get there, helps us unload. He begins to, within a few days, begins preparing the building for church. I look back to that, and I thought, I can remember riding that bus down there. So nervous, wondering if I was really following God or if it was me. And I see that God had it all planned out. He put that man on the bus. Someone we never knew. All we had to do was get on the bus. We got on the bus and God took care of everything. And that's the way it is in our Christian life. God stirs our heart about something, and sometimes we're uncomfortable, we're nervous. We say, I can't do it. I can't teach a class. I can't go soul winning. I can't do this. God says, I want you to do it. Trust me. You know what the hardest thing is? That first step. But we take that first step. God's there. We find out, oh, it's not so bad. God's helping me. God wants us to follow Him by faith. Barnabas He followed the Lord by faith. We see a man here, John Mark, that did wrong, messed up. But he recognized his mistake, got right with God. And God used him, probably till his dying day. Barnabas saw somebody hurting, reached out to him, loved him, encouraged him, invested some time in him. And God used him to restore John Mark. But we also see in Barnabas, a man, that when God spoke to him, he obeyed by faith. Even though it put his friendship with his best friend on the line. He obeyed. God wants us to trust in Him. So I say to you tonight, as I close, do you feel like a John Mark? Maybe you feel like God can't use you anymore. Maybe you made some mistakes. That's not true. God can use you. God wants to use you. God still has a plan for your life. You just have to make it right with God. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. Make anything right that you need to. And get back on the serving God. Maybe there's someone here tonight. God wants you to be a Barnabas. Instead of finding fault with someone and seeing where they fall and pointing your finger at them and stomping them in the ground, maybe God wants you to reach out and love them and encourage them and be a blessing to them. And maybe be able to get them back serving God. Or maybe you're here and you don't trust God. You lack faith. When God tells you to do something, you keep saying, I can't do it. I can't do it. And you never take that first step. You're never going to grow. That baby's never going to learn to walk until he takes that first step and probably falls. You got to take that first step. It could be someone here tonight that's never trusted Christ as their Savior. If you were to die tonight, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. Jesus loves you and died for you. He wants to save you. Like we saw these people saved in the book of Acts. He wants to save you. He wants to give you a new life. Let you start over. And give you a home in heaven. If you're willing to trust Him tonight. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank You for Your Word, Your Bible. Lord, as we read Your Bible, the more Your Bible we read, the more we see how You just take common people, sinners, and use them. Lord, I pray that we could use the examples in Your Bible to encourage us to give our hearts to You. Lord, to be someone here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray tonight they will come forward and receive Christ. Lord, I pray if there's someone that feels like John Mark and thinks that You can't use them anymore, help them to realize You still can. Help them to get things right with You and get back on board. Or maybe there's been some people that have had cold hearts. Mean. Didn't care. Help us to have more people with the heart of Barnabas to reach out and love others. Encourage them. And Lord, there could be some here that maybe they never do what You want them to do because they get afraid. And they won't take that first step. And You never can do with them what You want. Help them to realize that if they'll take that first step, You'll meet them and teach them how to do what You want. Lord, bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, please. As the music plays, God speak to your heart tonight. Maybe you feel like John Mark. Maybe you want to be a Barnabas. I don't know. But if God's spoken to your heart tonight, the altar's open. Respond as He needs you. You want to know Jesus as your Savior? Have a home in heaven? Come. Someone will meet you at the front and show you how you can be saved. As God moves, respond tonight.